In this episode, our host, Kenneth Chu, have invited Nicole Russell, who is the CEO and founder of Cellbotics, where we will be talking about how to thrive in a male-dominated environment. Cellbotics is a training center in the United States that is internationally renowned for IT repair. She created Cellbotics with the goal of providing a reliable route to succeed in IT businesses and entrepreneurship. Cellbotics offers monthly cell phone repair training as well as computer hardware repair training to anybody interested in entering the repair field. Nicole is a driven business owner with a strong desire to see her customers thrive. She really enjoys interacting and working together with individuals who share her same interests. Nicole was compelled to be a single mother as a result of suicide, but she does not consider herself a victim. She takes pleasure in the standard of care she provides for others and the relationships she builds. Without further ado, let's welcome Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Kenneth. How are you? Good to see you again.
Yes, I'm good. I'm very, very good. Thank you for making time for you to come on live early.
Thank you for having me. I always love talking to you.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing really amazing things for women, so I really like it.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So before we start, right, in fact, there's a tradition that every guest get to answer the question of the day posted by the previous guest.
I wanted to write this down.
So, yep. Okay.
I wanted to write it down.
Ah, okay. No worries. So as I was saying that, so every guest get to answer the question of the day posted by the previous guest so that we can officially start the show, all right? So are you ready to receive the question of the day posted by the previous guest?
I'm ready.
Okay, so the question of the day posted by the previous guest is, how do you know that you, how do you know that this is your passion? Okay, I repeat again. The question of the day posted by the previous guest is, how do you know that this is your passion?
Okay. I love this question. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Spend some time to think about it.
I can't wait to answer it.
Yes, okay. Yes. Okay, spend some time to think about it, man. Because I will be going on to Facebook Live to see if you're live successfully and if our audio are good to go, and I will come back to you, all right? Okay. Just give me a while, all right? So, Nicole, are you ready with your answer to the question of the day?
I am. So, I have a pretty unique view on passion. I spent some of my time trying to figure out what it is that I wanted to do. What is my purpose here? And after a lot of soul searching for a few years, I realized that I'm my passion. You know, my life is my passion. The way I live my life is my passion. I don't think anything I could ever do could be my passion. My passion is just fulfilling myself, what I want to do. And that may be helping family, helping people. But it's no, what I do is not my passion. I don't have any job task that I do that I'm like, this is my passion. You know, my passion is me. It's fulfilling my life and doing the things that I feel like I'm called to do or that I want to do. So is this my passion? Nothing is my passion. I'm my passion. My life is my passion.
Wow. That is it.
I feel awesome. Like we spend a lot of time looking outside of us for our passion. And I'm like, wait a second. You are your passion. Invest in you, look inside of you, and you're going to find that love that will keep you going. It doesn't have to be something outside of you.
Wow, that is amazing. And it's so near yet so far, right? Just in front of you or in you, right? So thanks a lot, Nicole, for sharing. And before we get it started for you to introduce yourself, but I just want to add on to what you have shared about passion, right? In fact, if you were to ask a lot of people what is their passion, they will say a lot of things that is on the surface that they think that is their passion. But in fact, it may not be, because if it's your passion, it comes naturally and nothing will really stop you. Like for me, doing this show, like, and next week is my episode 100. This is my passion. And my passion is talking to people, learning from people, especially from all the amazing mompreneurs I'm connected all around the world, hearing their inspiring story. And all this inspiring story will be able to inspire someone, inspire a mom, influence a mom, to let them know that, hey, you're not alone. There are a lot of mompreneurs out there that were like you before. and they were inspired by someone. Someone was a role model for them. Someone was their mentor, and that's how they got started. So this is something that I just want to add on to what you have shared. It's in us, but we need to do a lot of searching internally and find that intrinsic motivation or the reason why we are doing what we are doing. So thanks a lot, Nicole. Anything you want to add on what I've shared?
Yeah, I think the thing is that for me, it's I love so many things. I love business. I love working with people. I love building processes. I have passions towards so many things. I also had to stop looking outside myself because it created almost a vicious cycle of, well, this isn't my passion anymore. Now what's my passion? I'm not in love with what I do every day. And I think it, especially from a mom point of view, we start to think that we have to love everything that happens in our life. And for me, and this just happened a couple of years ago. It was such a realization to me to say, my life is my passion. Like whatever I choose is my passion. I'm my passion. And some people listening may be thinking, oh, self-centered, and or that I'm thinking just about me. And see, that is the problem. That is the issue in society, is that especially as women, we can't say me. Oh, all of a sudden that's something wrong, you know? And so it was a big step for me to take to say, me, my life is, and my life includes people I love, things I love to do, and my passions change, but in the core of it, it's me, you know.
Wow, thank you so much. And it, like you mentioned, it's all about me, and this is something that I also realized that with mothers that I work with, mompreneurs I work with, a lot of time they've forgotten about themselves. It's all about others. And yeah, you're absolutely right. So now we can kickstart with the show. And before we start, for those who are seeing you for the first time or listening to you for the first time, Nicole, could you introduce yourself and share with us where are you from and currently what were you doing doing now, and what were you doing back then in the past that got you started in this entrepreneurship journey? Share with us.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I've kind of always been, you know, very, very independent. I didn't always know I wanted to do a business, but at a really early age, I did know. I'm from Tampa. I started my entrepreneurship journey right after I had my daughter. I realized, so that was like 2008. I was like, ooh, working for someone and just completely being bogged down with hours is something I didn't want to do anymore, which I think a lot of moms can relate to. You're like working a major chunk of the day. You can't go to appointments without being scared you're going to lose your job. And so, you know, there's a lot to it. I'm going to sum it up because there is a really big thing that happened in my life that kind of thrust me really into being self-employed, which was my child's father actually committed suicide. So I am a single mom, and I have raised her all of my life. When he passed, you know, I took over what was some flea market spaces that we were kind of doing together. And it just was like a big blur, but I started in flea markets and I ended up in Atlanta after many moves to different cities and just trying to figure out what was I going to do. Ended up in Atlanta. Fast forward to about 2012 is when I decided to start training people. And I had some successful spaces that I made, some like flea market spaces where I did like phone repair and phone sales, activation, sold accessories. And I did really, really well with those, really, really fast. And people would ask me, how are you doing this? You know, you're so young, you're a single mom, you know? And so I thought, well, there's gotta be some sort of way to teach these people. And ended up creating a training and built all the content on my own. And it was just a vision, you know, and I had some training experience through a mentor that I actually worked for free for a long time. And so it just all came together and I created Sellbotics. I sold my last flea market location because I had retail spaces for the training back in probably 2016. Don't quote me on the date. And ever since then, I've really focused on specializing in training and training development. So not just prepare, but we do training development around products and things like that. Also helping companies develop internal training. And so that's what I do. I really love specializing. I feel like niching and really being good at what you do is really, really important. And so, yeah, that's a really short version of how I got here with my entrepreneurship.
Don't worry, you have time. You have time to share more.
Yeah.
So talking about that, right, when you talk about like niching, why did you, or how do you know that by niching down into a specific, because if I believe that you have come across people coming to you, oh, I want to start a business. Then when you ask them who are their target audience, they will say, oh, from 18 to 18 years old to 55 years old, right? So what makes you realize this, or maybe it could be your mentor that told you that you need to niche. So what, who enlightened you with this niching down?
My mentor passed away like a month after my child's father committed suicide. So I lost like the two most important people in my life within like a matter of 2 months. It was devastating. And a three-year-old, she was a mentor in the aspect that she exposed me to business and what that is. But we never really talked about niching and stuff like that. Like I never knew what that was. And I was just a teenager. So I was on my own since the age of like 16, 17, and I was working and had my own place and everything. And so she kind of took me under her wing. But what made me niche is, when I first started business, I wanted to do everything.
Yeah.
I wanted to do the website. I wanted to do the marketing. I wanted to do the content. I ran the business. I did training. Well, with my stores, I had staff. Well, because you had to have staff. There's no way I could sell as much as I was doing and repair as much as I was preparing all by myself. But when it came to the training, like, you know, I was the one-stop shop, you know, SEO, everything. And I was extremely overwhelmed, but at the same time, you're not making a ton of money with that specific business. And so it's like, you know, what do you do? I was playing like this juggling game, and I started to realize that I was really, really overwhelmed, you know, like, yeah, I wasn't a great mom during those years. I dealt with a lot of depression. I was pretty negative. Like if you see me, if you know me today and you see me like 10 years ago, you would think it was like completely different people. And so for me, I wanted to get into like self-development, and that happened because someone really awesome, I'm not going to say a name, came to my class, and he's very successful in my eye, right? What he's doing with his life, the individual that he is. And when he came to my class, you know, we had some really funny encounters, and then, you know, we became just mutual friends on social media, and he's opening all these stores and he's doing all this amazing stuff. And one day my mom posts, you know, tags me in a post about The Secret, right? And this gentleman, he never really posts or comments on people's Facebooks, right? Mm-hmm. But he commented and he said, watch this for 30 days. This is what changed my life and helped me build what I have. And I was like, okay, there's this person that I know is really successful, financially secure, doing great things with their life, traveling, is a beautiful individual. And he gives me this one piece of advice. What am I going to do? Like, I'm going to follow that advice. Like you wouldn't believe. So I was like, I'm doing it. And so actually the movie, The Secret, is really what started me to even understand what self-improvement was. And then through self-improvement, I learned about niching and giving away tasks, and you can't do it all. And to grow, you really have to give away things so then your mind can create more. And over the years, that was, man, that was a long time. That was a long time ago. But over the years, I just always now, it's like daily, I'm trying to do, you know, and take in self-improvement content. And my life is so different. Like every task that is brought into my company, if my staff haven't just initially taken it on, if it's come to me first, I immediately think, how can I give this away? And that's helped me grow, you know, and that has brought me to niching, which is, I need to specialize in something. I don't have to just be one industry, right? I am one industry, but we are spanning out a little bit over the past 2 years, where we have companies that have products that want like training development, or big depots that do recycling that want training development, where we normally are training people that are opening stores, but we're still trainers. Like we can develop any type of training. And so that's where I'm like, okay, I need to specialize. And I got rid of everything else, like an onion. Like I just let it shed off. No more websites, no more. We're done with all of that. We're going to specialize in this, and we're going to refer out to vendors. If somebody asks me for something, I refer them to someone else. We're not going to try to do that on our own, because we don't need to do everything to be successful.
Wow. It's such a journey, and you have just demonstrated that it's all boils down to self-improvement, right? Self-development, right? And all that. And something that caught me is you discover it yourself, and the kind of like the universe guided you, like what the secret is all about. The secret, the law of attraction, and you met someone, and that someone never really speak, and suddenly he gave you his word of wisdom, and it just opened up that big door or big window for you to go in. So have you ever wonder, is there something that you did right by niching down, and now you are on the next level? Because by niching, right, it sounds like you, when you are outsourcing it to other vendors to do the things that you used to do, but now you're focusing. Is it very much about focus? When you stay focused, you're able to master or be the expert or be the authority in your niche.
Right. Yeah. Because what would happen is people would come to us. So people come to us to learn how to open businesses. So with that, they would want websites done, advertising done. And I would be like, okay, let's offer that too. Let's offer ads. Let's offer websites. And so I've got my staff doing all these different things. And then people are calling us just to do a website. What are we really? You know what I mean? And it gets diluted, because when someone meets me, well, before, they didn't. What am I about? What am
your
I doing?
Identity,
no, we do websites,
right?
We do ads. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think getting laser focused, realizing what you're really good at, and also what can make money. I've never been the one to say do something out of just the kindness of your heart. Right. Like you have to be, it has to benefit you in some way, unless it's like a volunteer thing, you know, like you're, charity, you know, you're doing that. But if it's business, it has to make money too. There has to be a need for it. So when you identify that and just laser focus on it and just like, I'm the best, be the best, you know. And I also brought on a contractor. I will say her name, Michelle Cox. She is amazing. So I brought her on like 4 or 5 years ago to do a computer repair course underneath Cellbotics umbrella. And when I met her, it was very eye-opening, because she spent a lot of time telling me that I did bring value, which is something I know that we're going to talk about, but I struggled with that a lot. Like, do I have value? And so it's just been really awesome to be able to say, we are the best at this. I know that we are, like, because I've worked so hard to make sure we are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, and just staying focused.
And you touch on something that I always experience whenever I work with vendors. Especially in their business or in anything, is that, are we really good at that? They always have this doubt, self-doubt, or some of us, we will call it imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome,
we,
right?
We don't feel that we are good enough. Are we really good? We keep asking ourselves, we keep doubting ourselves. So
can I just comment on that imposter syndrome before we... Okay, because that is kind of like not a trigger word for me, but because I've been hearing that a lot more over the years. And what I can say about imposter syndrome, some people, it is legit false. They're just questioning themselves, right? But with other people, they're starting a business where they are offering a service that them themselves do not believe in. So they call it imposter syndrome, but in reality, they need to spend more time validating their business than just trying to sell it to someone.
Yep.
When in reality, you yourself doesn't even know if it works. You know what I mean?
I get it. Because this
happens in the coaching industry a lot.
It's like fake it till you make it, right? That kind of stuff.
Right. No, you shouldn't do that with other people's money. You know, if you don't believe in your own process, take on some free clients. If this is a new business, I trained some free people in the beginning. I seen them flourish and I'm like, okay, I'm on to something here. You know, take on some free clients and do it. And then, okay, I know it works. And that will really help with your imposter syndrome. But to create an outline for a business, start selling it. And you yourself don't even know if it works. You're just taking your feelings and your ideas that pop in your head and putting it. I feel like it's just not right for the client and it will affect you, your whole growth of your business. Even like if you're doing a cleaning company, clean a couple of houses for free. Do they love it? You know what I mean? Any business, you can take one or two clients, do them, you know, do everything for free and just figure out, okay, I did really good. And it'll help with that imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I like this part, and I want to dive deeper into that, because recently I've opened up I would say I would kind of like focus, because I run a digital marketing consultancy. I do provide a full service digital marketing services or even creative services. But there was a long period of time I was very focused in marketing retainer, but because of the market, it's pretty costly. So I'm now niching down into content writing. And I realized I came across a lot of startup or business owners that were like what you were saying, that they think this is a business that they want to do, but they are not good at it, they are not master at it, and it seems that they are playing with it.
Right.
Why would I say, for example, I have a client that they are starting a food and beverage business, F&B business, and they think that their idea is phenomenal, but has it been tested at all? Like you mentioned, validating. Have people tried your food? Have people tried your cooking style? Have people even say it's good, it's nice? It's right. All in their head that is playing that, oh, this is good because I don't see it in the market. So there's two ways. Either you don't see it in the market, you can be trailblazing, or it's not in the market because
it's not
the idea, yeah, it's not good, or the idea sucks, or
right.
People just cannot bring it to fruition. So that's why I was like, even as a marketer, I was like questioning, like, I asked them, what is your unique selling point? They can't answer me. And the next question, the next thing that I came across as a business owner is that, how are they going to sustain this? Right? How are they going to sustain this where they are not focusing? They don't even have a marketing plan. They don't have a business strategy at all. Every day, they are just focusing on the operation. So coming
right.
back.
Right. And just the money, you
yes.
know.
And they're just burning. And I was very blessed that I have a friend who own multiple F&B outlets, that I just bounced the idea off with him, and he tell me that they are in the black hole. It's like sucking them dry. They're going to drain off eventually if they don't do something about it. Yeah. So that is where you talk about the imposter syndrome, that people have this idea, they think it works. For example, if you don't even know how to make coffee, you set up, you open up a cafe, you have not done maybe customer service at all, you have not waitress before, and you are doing that. So in the event when things happen, coming back,
No, go ahead, Kenneth, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, so they have no experience in that, and in the event, right, most of the time I see is that they can't get people to work for them, they can't hire people for the right job, and they have to jump in and do the work and operate the
right.
business. In the end, the whole thing flopped, right?
Right.
So
right.
this is where, when you talk about the imposter syndrome that is driving at people, thinks that this business work without any validation or even without giving free service. Like there's a lot of parent coach or parenting coach that I know that I come across, and I ask them, just because they have a certification that they are certified coach, and they think that they will have customer, and they think that they are the customer or the people that they kind of coached before for free coaching will become their customers. But
right.
none of them became their customers. And they came to me and asked me, Kenneth, how do I market myself? I say that you have, like what you mentioned, you have to give free coaching to build up your coaching skills. You need to validate whether your style work, your step-by-step or your coaching works or not. You have to clock in the mileage. So why would people want to engage you as a coach and pay you money where they don't see that you are experienced or
right.
you don't have any credential? So yeah, so that is something that I keep happening around me, and you just nailed it by saying about the,
right.
talking about the imposter
syndrome.
Yeah,
because I think there's a couple sides there, right? You do have businesses that you can open strictly through market research. You know,
yeah.
investors do that all the time, but they're prepared for that. They understand how long an ROI takes, and they understand, you know, they have the team that's doing the research and understands how something's going to flourish, and the needs in the community and all of this kind of stuff, you know, like franchises, like they don't just close their eyes on a map and okay, we're going to open there. They do like true market research,
yeah.
you know? And I think that with individuals, when they're starting businesses, there's also a lot of people on the internet saying, just start your business, you know, and don't worry about it. And yeah, some people can do that. But through me working with beginners, I mean, we work with people that have come up with this idea and they're like, okay, I'm going to have a cell phone store. Great. And they come here, which is even more awesome, because then we're giving them one to 100, like, yeah, we're getting them every, we're literally taking them through years of information. You know, that's what they should be doing. They're doing the right thing. But we have individuals that, you know, I've been doing this for 3 years. I've put so much money behind this and it's not successful. And it was just an ideal and they didn't understand the market needs, or there's no place anywhere, you know. Well, that's like saying there's not a McDonald's in your town. That means your town is probably very small, off the maps. You know, it's like, there's no Walmart in my town, you know, like cell phone repair is like that. Like, it's everywhere. I get nervous when there is no competition. If you give me competition, I know that there's a sustainable market there and I can compete with anyone. Right. So for me, it's like, yeah, it's just validating your business, whatever it is. If it's a restaurant and you're making food, do some pop-up things in the area that you plan on opening in. Small towns are good for this, especially bigger cities. You can even do things like that too, where people just come and try the food and you let them know, hey, we're going to be opening in this area, you know, and you can do that through multiple ways. You can rent an event space. You can do a food truck kind of setup where you just, people do like the food, you know, and do some market research, you know, or, but yeah, with any type of business, I think to get the imposter syndrome out of the way, really validate that what you are telling people that is you're giving them is actually going to get them the results that, that you say they're going to get, you know? Right.
And you mentioned something is like a lot of business, you really need, if you're starting something that is really new, that you are not experienced in it, you have to develop what we call the MVP, minimal variable product, to test out the market, to get market feedback, even like for F&B, even for my case, like why would a guy be qualified to mentor moms and all that
people
stuff.
Are probably second guessing you as why.
Yeah. And
what is your intention here? You know, and they just automatically don't trust you for some reason, you know,
right.
And, you know, but I don't want to kill the entrepreneur spirit, because even myself, I didn't know what I was doing when I went to the flea markets. I remember my child's father used to just yell at me, you know, you don't talk to anybody, you don't get any sales. You know, I'm like, look at me now, you know? So it's like, I was such a different person.
It's a learning curve,
it's
somebody, right?
Yeah. It's like, I feel like, if you want to own a business, then you just need to do it. But you also need to understand that you can't go, you know, off the rails literally when things don't work out, because things don't work out all the time in business. Like, it just becomes that didn't work. Keep going. Like, I don't even think about it now. Like, I don't even say the words, it didn't work. We just keep rolling right past it. You know what I mean?
You just start maneuvering around it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just pivot. Like, you got to pivot so fast and not even think about it, because if you get stuck on it, it's like my child's father, you know, with him committing suicide, you know, he was stuck on a lot of things that weren't working. And that can happen to people. People, you know, they go into deep depression, they lose everything because they put everything into this business, not realizing that you need to prepare for the worst, be ready for that. But, you know, put your all in for the best, but know that you have this backup plan, you know what I mean? And understand that, it could go south, but you do want to stay positive because you are manifesting at the same time. So it's a tricky balance, you know, of having that, you know, okay, I know it's going to work. I know my product is good, but then understanding your risk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And freaking out if it doesn't
with
work.
With that, right, I think the next question I want to ask you is that, because you talk about being positive, pivoting and all that, so how is it like you running a business in the electronic repair business and also manage the business in the male dominated environment? How do you do that? And is there any magic or any trick that you can share with the audience?
Right. I had probably like 10 bullet points. I thought it would be good to tell women if they're in a male industry. For me, It hasn't always been pleasant. I for a long time in the beginning of my business, I didn't feel welcomed. When I first went into, there's a bunch of platforms and things like that that are around my industry. I wasn't really welcomed. Sometimes I was really, really just degraded, you know? And it took me a long time. Sometimes I was like, couldn't sleep. Like I was just so sad because somebody said something to me and it really hurt my feelings. And, you know, it was learning how to overcome that. And then also how to deal with men in general. You know, I actually, now I find it hard working with too many women. I went to an event and there was like 200 women and I'm like, I don't know what to do here. You know,
I feel you. I feel you. Like you and I, we are opposite. Like
opposite.
When I'm hanging around with male entrepreneurs, I get, how am I going to strike a conversation with them? How am I going to shake my hand? Because you know, like you shake hands with men and women is very different. I do
very
not know.
Different.
Yeah. So for me, it's the same. Like I'm been in the male, female dominated environment for the past 13 years, ever since I studied fashion designing. So that's where that's where I was surrounded. My whole life, I'm surrounded by women. Even in my workspace, it's all female dominated.
Yeah.
So I totally feel you is that you get what do you call that?
You almost psych yourself out.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, what am I doing here? But no, I think I wanted to say that the key part to working in a male dominated industry is gaining respect.
Mm.
So respect is something that where people may not like what you're saying, they may not even like you, but they listen to you, right? Mm. And that comes from respect, right? And so with a male dominated industry, whereas with females, I couldn't even tell you what it would take to really thrive in a female dominated industry. But with men, I feel like respect goes a very long way. Mm-hmm. And the way that a woman goes about earning respect from their male peers, I think is different if it was the other way around or just female, female or male, male, right? There is that like kind of standard there that you're like, there's some lines that get blurry and you got to be careful, you know? And so for me, I have some bullet points that I'm going to go over if that's okay, Kenneth, because
okay,
I feel like these are items that really make you get respect because we're not just, we just don't want people to like us, right?
Yeah.
We don't want people to just be like, oh, she's pretty and I want to keep her around, or she's so nice and does everything, so I'm going to have her around me. We don't want the men to do that. Not that the guys are great. I love working with the guys. So I'm not, this is nothing against the guys. I'm just saying like, there are those few that are going to do that just because, you know, but you want to be respected, right? And so, so here's a few things. Okay. So speaking your mind. So learning how to speak your mind in a way that you can't think that people know how you feel.
Yep.
Women a lot of times will lead from feelings and they think just that without even sometimes knowing that people should know how they feel and they don't. And men in particular are not really good at picking up on those kind of signals.
Mm-mm.
So learning how to say your opinion without bringing too much feeling into it and being more articulate with your words and explaining situations, why your reasoning, with not trying to get over emotional when you're talking about different things, you know, and just learning how to speak your mind. Be visible.
Mm-mm.
So you need to be visible like everywhere. Okay. But with that visibility, and I don't want to offend any women here. Okay. I just want to say this first. As a woman, you have the right to look and act and be and speak however you want to. I'm not trying to take that away from you. I'm just giving you my opinion, okay? Don't over-sexualize yourself, okay? I find that some women in male-dominated industries, they over-sexualize themselves because it gets them attention. I don't want attention. I want respect, right? Because respect is different. Respect is where you get into the board meetings and you're heard. And they listen to what you're saying and they take you serious versus over sexualizing yourself. Yeah, you may be going places with people, but are there intentions to respect you and listen to what you're saying, right? So don't over sexualize yourself. And however that is to you, that's you. I could probably spend an hour just talking about that. I'm not going to, but just try to keep that
good.
Wrapped, you know what I mean? Learning how to speak to men. And it doesn't feel like you're trying to engage in something outside of professionalism. Yep. I think a lot of women have a hard time with that when you're at a networking event and it's all men. I deal with it all the time. How do you approach them where it doesn't come off as flirtatious or I'm really talking about business here. I'm not, you know, yeah, I'm trying to get to know you because I want to build a relationship with you, but it's not in a weird way. You know what I mean? Because that's how you lose respect, right? So what I have found is it's not always how, you know, what you're talking to someone about, it's how you're talking to them.
Yeah.
Women have a thing where they do this a lot, you know, or they're, you know what I mean? Like, don't do that. Sit straight up, make eye contact. You know, when you're shaking hands, use a firm handshake. Yeah. You know, your body posture can all read into how either professional or personal you're trying to be. You see what I mean? And I feel like having respect has really made me thrive in, you know, in this industry. Don't be afraid to have a little bit of fun, especially at networking events, but also keep it under wraps. I've seen some ladies get a little crazy. You know what I mean? You don't want to lose respect. Always remember that, right? Be motivating. I feel like women have the ability to be extremely motivating if they can learn how to articulate their words, if they can absorb enough knowledge about content they don't know about, so then they can kind of regurgitate it. Being motivating has really been something that has helped me. Partnering with men in business. So if you have men that they're networking with you and stuff like that, think of ideas that you can bring them into things that you're doing, right? Networking with them as much as you want them to network with you. You can initiate that partnership or collaboration or whatever. You can initiate it. They don't have to initiate it with you, okay? Yeah. You can be the leader on that. Giving compliments. I feel like working with men are some of the most unrecognized that I've ever seen. And a lot of people think it's the other way around.
Yeah.
But I find that females do get a lot of, you're doing awesome, you're doing great, look at you, go girl. Men are just like kind of expected to
We are very stingy with words.
Right. You know, they're just expected. Men are expected to do good, right? And be leaders. Yeah. When they're not, they can get downed. But when they're top of their game, who's really telling them that they're doing good? Me, the guys that I work with and network with that I respect so much, I tell them, dude, you're freaking awesome. Like, your energy is just blowing up this room. You see what I mean? And I'm not doing it in a flirtatious way. Yeah. This is not anything weird. I am giving him a compliment because I expect people to see me as a woman doing great and say something. Why don't we do the same? Yeah. That builds a bond and a relationship with that person, you know, which is what respect comes in. Respect, you know what I mean? And then two more things. Being able to self-correct yourself. Analyze, hey, oh God, when I was talking about that, I really didn't say that the right way. You know, that came off wrong. Being able to self-correct yourself. Because a lot of times as a woman, these men in the industry are not going to tell you when you've done something inappropriate or said something inappropriate. Yeah. You have to look and say, that wasn't really right. And then correct it. You know what I mean? And then investing in yourself, getting certificates as much as you can, and be a part of these events and stuff. You know, don't expect someone to take you, you know, go pay, be a part of these things. You know, and so that's how I've felt like I've really thrived in the male industry, is just trying to, at the core, keep respect and get respect. And through that is, you know, all these different things. Of course, putting out content, you know, that's valuable. Those are the basics, no matter what industry you're in. But, you know, just getting respect from them. I think that's what's been key for me.
Wow. That's a lot of golden nuggets. I hope that the audience are writing it down, like what I'm doing now. In fact, I wrote down.
Right.
So it's really amazing. And you basically nail it at every single point. When I hear that, I was like, okay. Especially the appreciation compliment, I think that is very it's lacking in a lot of times. Like people and the society expect that men has that, but a lot of time we are not that confident that we also have those self-doubt, whether are we good enough, did we perform the best. And when nobody is saying or giving us compliment, we just diminish over time, and we just get burned out. We just feel that we're not being appreciated. And that was what happened to me, because in my career and at my peak of my career, I was like the top sales in the team. everything was good. I was able to finance or even to give a better living for my family, but I was not appreciated at work by my superior. Even in life, I'm not being there's no words of encouragement for my from None. My dad, even right. from my wife.
Right.
That's why
right.
I have to we have to self motivate ourselves. But I'm very blessed that I have a good of what I call elite peers. They are men and women. I would say majority are women. They are supporting me. They are complimenting me, giving me compliments and appreciating me. Especially the mompreneurs I work with very closely. So even like for you, you guys are amazing. So with all this, right, like respect, I would say is mutual, like for men and women, especially for men is about respect. Like for me, what I feel when I work with women is about connection and trust. It's very important, especially coming from me as a man. And that's why there was a lot of question by mompreneurs or mommy see me for the first time that start to question. Even for you, in Clubhouse, we met in Clubhouse, right?
So yes.
Like people are questioning like why is a man there with three other right. co-mobs and stuff like that. And I have to introduce myself. I have to put it in my profile that people will be able to read it. It has to be visible, like you mentioned. You have to be visible. And because I think all thanks to the podcast, back then I have like 80 episodes. Once I tell people I've interviewed mompreneurs from all around the world, I've done 80 episodes, and that's period. I don't have to justify. I don't have to.
I think you asked me what I thought about it.
Mm-mm.
And I think because working with men, I think I told you I really don't have a thought about it. I think it's great what you're doing. You know, because I've learned not to cast judgment because you're a man, because I work with so many men and I've heard all like so many stories about things that they deal with and they're almost confiding in me. And it's like, I've learned to understand that that's what you want to do. I think it's great, you know, but not everybody's like that, you know?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And we just have to find our own tribe, our own network, our own community that believe in what we are doing and just move forward with them. So thanks a lot for sharing on how do you manage to be in the male dominated environment for so many years. So what would you think is the biggest challenge for women in this environment, in the male dominated environment? Their biggest challenge?
I think it's their selves. I mean, of course, you've got society standards where women are paid less than men for the same job and all of that. That is definitely a big hurdle. But in general, I think it's the woman being able to reflect on herself and say, how can I really ingrain, you know, integrate into this male dominated industry the right way, respectfully, and do it with my skill set and not with just trying to gain likes. You know what I mean? Because likes fade, respect, it grows, you know? And so I think it's just the normal, you know, issue of the pay thing, you know, and same job, not same view, you know? But I do think a lot of times it's the woman themselves, they self-doubt themselves. Mm. They think that they're less than, you know, you have to do a lot of inner work to realize that you're not less than, you have a view, you have to articulate it properly. But I feel like if you can gain respect, then you can thrive in your industry.
Yeah. Coming on that, right. Touching on that, would you say that the self-esteem plays a very big part in this environment, like self-confidence, self-esteem?
Yeah, and I can't say that I've always been great at that. I mean, I probably still don't have the greatest self-esteem. Watching yourself on camera is not easy, let me tell you.
No,
you see every flaw, you know. But for me, a lot of women will base it on what they think people thinking of them, of how they look.
Yeah,
a lot of
judgment,
times,
right?
Women deal with that a lot. You know, is my shirt wrinkly? Is my shoes right? And it's not vain. We feel like it means so much.
It's
and
the
I feel
image,
like to men,
right?
The image, like the physical image. And I feel like in male dominated industries, we think that means so much to them, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
They're just like, you got value. You got,
you
you're good.
Care.
You're solid. You know, you're trustworthy. You know what you're talking about. I can respect you. Then you're in. So I think women, they trick themselves to think that it doesn't matter what your image is. Just go in there, be professional, command the room, speak your words, what yeah. your views are, what your opinion is, what you know, and gain their respect. And I mean, you're in, and you're just as good as the next guy, you know what I mean? If not better, you know?
Yeah. I think you bring out a point that in fact, men visually, if let's say for, I would say colleagues or even people that you partner with, the people that you work with, men typically are not very, they don't really care if you talk about work. They care about your professionalism, your knowledge, like you mentioned, how well you can articulate your thoughts and right. and your ideas and your opinion. It's about voicing out, right? And the more you voice and the more they can understand you, the frequency, they get you. And if you are not beating around the bush and you just go straight to the point, they get it. Right. Because I...
And learn to listen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women, they want to be heard so badly and they forget to listen first. With me, I'll sit in a room full of men and network with them and I'll listen for a
what
while.
They say, right?
And then I'll surprise them, you know, because I've done listened to all of you and I've accumulated all this information. I always listen when I'm talking to someone, I meet someone, I stay completely quiet. I make eye contact and I am listening to every word that they're saying, because what I'm going to come back with, I don't want to be the first to speak. You know what I mean? I want to hear what they have to say, you know?
Yeah. And that is smart because that is how men are programmed. If you look at it, right? Normally men gather together, there's always one person that's speaking, the rest are listening, right? And once this is done, this A guy is done, B guy will just come out and say
not
something.
Not women, you'll be like 10 of us, like we're all talking at the same time.
or maybe
and
the
everybody
two of
knows
them,
what's going on.
Yeah, the two of them will speak at one corner, the three of them will speak at one corner, but the 10, yeah, so I hear you, I feel you. And this is how it operates. The environment is different. The structure is different. Even the brains are wired different. This is from one of the psychiatrists or psychologists. He was sharing in a fun way that men and women brains are wired differently. Like men brains are like boxes. Like there's a box for fun. There's a box for work. There's a box and there's a box for nothing. Like to really stare blank and slob and couch potato and all that stuff. Man has a box for everything. So if you want to interrupt him, you can't. He will still be in that box until he got himself out or you help him to get himself out from that box. But women, mind or brain is wired like a web, like an internet. Like it's all wired here and there. Like children here and next moment you can talk about food. You can talk about the car,
right.
You can talk about laundry, you can talk about everything under the sun. So this is how it's wired. That's why men blank out when women ask them A and jump to B.
Jump to B. It's too much. It's too much, you know. And I do work with some really amazing men and they can handle a lot. And even for them, it's like, ooh, you know, hey, let's what are we doing now? You know what I mean? Okay. For me, I'm like, okay, we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do this, you know? But I've learned how my delivery needs to be better. Okay, guys, we're going to focus on these items and we're going to get them done. And it's not something wrong with them. It's just the masculine brain and the feminine brain is just wired differently. It just works differently. And I'm okay with it. I embrace it. I love it, you know?
It's about getting things done, right? So you just have to make it work. Yeah.
Right.
So you, it's like, this is what I learned from my healing coach. It's like, you can't change other people. The only thing that you can change is yourself. So when
That's
you
right.
change yourself, you change the world. You change other people naturally, right, by themselves. So thanks a lot for sharing that. And that was fun about the biggest challenge for women. And was there an aha moment that you tell yourself that, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set up a Cellbotic to be like this and that and business development and all that. So is there a moment that you had?
Yeah. So the way that my brain works when it comes to business is when I have an idea and I've decided, okay, this is an idea. It's going to be good. I understand that there's demand for it. I just dive head in. Like, I'm like, it's happening, you know? And for me, it was the aha moment was, people were asking me all the time, like, and it just became like a daily occurrence.
That's,
and I was
a demand,
like,
right?
Yeah, like, okay, something, I got to do this. And so it literally was like, okay, there's a demand, there's a need. I started doing some internet research. I was like, whoa, wait a second. That's not the right way to do it. Well, to my opinion, I can't judge anybody else's business. I'm like, okay, I think I can provide the right way that I see in my mind of how that someone should start this type of business. And I see these key things as the most important thing. And this is really my, when you said about, you know, what is your, how would you say? Like, what is a different thing about your business? You said it. Oh my God, it's right on the top of my head. You know, that was like the different thing about what, you know, what my business was going to be, is I had this way different view about how someone should start a business, you know, in this industry. And so for me, it was just really realizing that there was a need for it. I had already helped a couple people and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then it's just like me, I'm just, when I say I'm going to do it, it's going, it's like halfway there. Just when I said, if you work with me, you know that there's Ahmed and George, there's two men in my industry, they know, if they watch this, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about,
like how you're wired and how, what is your style, right? Like when you know that, okay, this is direction, you just go ahead and you just pivot, you just do whatever it takes to make it happen, because you know it will happen, because you already have the experience, you analyze, you can see it in front of you, you can visualize, you have that vision, and that's why you go ahead, right? So, but having said that, like I see, the more you share, right, it seems that you are someone who thinks ahead. Is that true?
Yeah.
And how do you
feel like I do. I always am, you know, very, very fast on my thoughts and always trying to be ahead of what's going on.
Is
most
it because
definitely. And I had some big setbacks, you know.
Is it because you're open-minded? Is it because you're open-minded and because you embrace the both words, the male and the female, different perspective, that's why you can see things clearer? Is that so?
Right.
Do you think that contributes?
I think so. And it's just being, not letting the problems affect you, because when I opened my school within the first year, I had a break-in and they stole everything in my school.
Wow.
So I lost like 50 grand worth of equipment. And I remember my family, like my mom and stuff, saying, why are you doing this? You're doing so well with the flea market spaces. Don't do this. And I said, no, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I want to do. This is going to be amazing. At that time, I had like maybe 5 clients under my belt, and I didn't think twice to just continue doing it. You know, I think getting to where you take things that people call losses or like, you don't even think of them that way. It's just a learning.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that didn't, we just keep going. You know what I mean? And then, just always thinking ahead and being really progressive with your thoughts. Sometimes I don't know how I do it or where it comes from. It's just how
it's
I am,
you.
You know, I'm always thinking of something. You know?
I think it's in you, because things happen to you, and it could be that you're born optimistic like me. This is something that I recently have been sharing a lot. I say I'm very blessed that my mom gave birth to me as a very optimistic person. Why? Because in my life, there's a lot of setbacks. Like, I lost people that was very dear. My younger sis, my wife down with lupus. And I got into depression. I lost my dream job and a lot of stuff. And I started this mompreneurship thing that my dad till today don't really understand why am I doing this. And a lot of people don't understand, but gradually you will have a group of people that is following you, that is embracing, like you are one of the women or the moms that really see what I do and really encourage me to do. And because coming onto my show, you are already believing what I'm my vision is, and why am I doing this, so that a mom who's aspiring, who's looking for a way out, they hear your story, they get inspired, influenced, and they can be the next mompreneur that will create an impact in the world. So I just believe in that. I saw this, and that was the reason what holds me until today. after 3 years, coming to 4 years, doing episode 100 next week. I've never believed or never see this coming. Even my friend last week, the mom, the guest, was telling me, "Oh, kind of your episode 100, you should have a celebration. You should have a cake cutting ceremony and all that stuff." I said, "Wow, okay, I never thought of that. I should celebrate." And
good idea. Yeah. That's a great idea. You know, I think, Kenneth, too, is that for the moms that are listening right now, I actually was not born optimistic. I was born, my mother, most of my life, my mother was like, life, you know, we're in hell and we're working our way out.
Okay. But that is good.
You know, and like, it was like, hey, don't get too happy. Something happens bad when you get too happy. Like, that's how I was raised. My mom now is different, but like, through my, because we were really, really poor. We went through a lot of really bad things when I was young. And so I want the women to know that even if you are the person right now that you are, don't feel good about yourself, you have a little bit of this goal, but then you're like doubting yourself all the time, you need to really focus on personal development, because you can change who you are. Yeah. I promise you, you can change
because
who you are.
Have changed.
Yeah, I have changed. Like, if you listen, people that knew me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they don't even recognize the person that I am right now.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of those friends left over, because those people fall away as you change, right? But I'm a completely different individual, and you can change the person you are. You just have to start.
Yeah.
Stop talking about starting and just start.
And start,
you know?
Start believing, right? Start believing that you can be a better person. You can be that person that you want. Because,
like, right. And even if you don't believe it, just do it. Eventually, the motions of it will make you believe it.
Yeah.
Change your life. Take out all the toxic stuff. Stop watching TV and stuff like that. You know, try to organize things. Get organized. You know, clean out little things, like cleaning out your house and getting organized can help you take yourself to the next level. You get overwhelmed. I understand what it's like. I'm a single mom, you know, and running a business from the ground up. That was not an easy situation, you know? And so I understand what you're going through. You can't change the person that you are, but you have to start with what you can start with today. Don't keep saying, oh, I'm going to do that when. It's just like the gym, you know, like, you just have to do it. It's like working out, you know?
Yeah.
When it comes to business and self-development, you just have to start right now, where you are right now, and just do little things until it becomes like a big snowball.
Yeah. And you are absolutely right. It's like one baby step and one time. So step by step, take those baby steps. Instead of thinking that you should take 100 steps, just take one step at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So having said that, time really flies, and you have shared a lot of things of how to really thrive in the male-dominated environment. I believe the audience, especially for those that are struggling in this environment, they learn a lot from you. I even took notes and stuff like that. So for those who are watching to now, do watch the replay and write down the notes, the pointers that Nicole have shared with all of us. All right. So time flies, and maybe you can let the audience know, how can they get connected with you, Nicole?
Yeah. So I really love LinkedIn. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. You can just look up Nicole Russell Cellbotics. I'll pop up. If you just Google Nicole Russell Cellbotics, I'll pop up. LinkedIn is a really good place. If you go to cellbotics.com, there's a coaching area. I actually do one-on-one coaching. So if somebody's like, oh, you know, I'm doing a retail business, or I just want to talk to her, ask questions. I have a lot of women that I actually do one-on-one coaching with. Some own retail businesses, some do not. And so if that's something that you want, otherwise, you know, you can always ask me a question. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Nicole. And for those who want to get connected with Nicole, you can go to the description wherever a medium that you are watching or listening to, so you can go and get connected with her. If not, like what she said, you can go to Google for Nicole Russell Cellbotics. You will definitely find her. Okay.
Right.
So last but not least, what would be your before we end, right? There will be, this is your time for you to post the question of the day out to the audience and also to the next guest. So what would your question of the day be, Nicole?
I wanted to try to come up with this. What would my question be?
It can be anything about motherhood, mompreneurship, or maybe about your environment.
How do you bring Or have you ever, I guess, how would you bring your teenager into owning a business?
Wow. How would
you? Those are things I'm trying to do. So I want to hear if another mom is doing that. If they have a teenager so and they're, how would you think to bring a teenager into owning a business?
Okay. What would you think about?
I'm not sure how to word it, but you know, how would you get your teenager into business? You know, this may only apply to moms that have teenagers.
In fact, the next guest, she has a teenager boy, so it's a very good question for her. So I would say that how would you start your
teenager kid interested in business, maybe, or something like that.
Interested in entrepreneurship.
I think I'm doing pretty good, but I want to hear what another mom is doing too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Good. So wow, this is going to be a very challenging question for her. I'm also curious, like, what will the next guest be? What will her answer be? It's very interesting, because for me, I'm already training my daughter on that, but she's more onto the artistic, the drawing, the designing. She even self-taught herself animation. So that's really
wow.
She's 12 this year, so 1 year younger than your kid.
Oh, nice. Yeah, mine's 13. Yeah. She's, I just keep reminding her, I'm like, when you get a regular job, I can't wait for you to come back and tell me, let's do a business.
The best is a business that's out of your industry, right?
Right.
Yeah, that would
be
so
I don't
fun.
Want her in my industry. I want her to do like something online, you know?
More challenging and more maybe towards their future, right? Like maybe NFT.
Yeah, like VR, you know, stuff like
metaverse,
that, you know?
Right?
Yeah, that's what I want her in, yeah.
Wow, that's so fun.
We'll see.
Yeah, so thanks a lot, Nicole. Thanks for sharing. And let me repeat the question of the day posted by Nicole. So how would you, I repeat again. How would you start your teenager kid be interested in entrepreneurship, all right? So
there
I repeat
go.
Again. How would you start your teenager kid be interested in entrepreneurship? Okay, so this question goes out to the guest and also to the next. This question goes out to the audience and also to the next guest. So thanks a lot, Nicole. Before we wrap up, what would be your last advice for mothers who are thinking, should I start a business or should I not start a business? What would be your last advice for them?
I mean, if you really want to do it, just start doing something. Stop overlearning and under-implementing. Stop. You know, yeah, you can pay for courses, but if you're like on your 10th course and you haven't started anything, stop doing courses. Go back to the content you've already bought and implement. I feel like people just implement so little, even when they take a course, even my own course, you know? So implement, start something. You don't, nothing has to be perfect. Start right where you're at and stop waiting for some moment to come. It's not going to come. I'm telling you, it's not going to come. And also, don't think you're ever going to get there. There is no there. It just life keeps rolling like this. Yeah. You will never get to a destination. And there was a woman, a coach I had who told me that. I said, but when am I going to get there? And she's like, honey, you never get there. It's like a ball. You just keep going. I was like, what?
Yeah, you're
so
absolutely
there's no
right.
destination.
Yeah. And like I also share this with the mothers that I coach or people that I mentor. I will say that it's like our OS, operating system. There's always a new version. So
right.
Version 1 is still better than version 0. So start your version 1 now.
That's right. That's great.
So thanks a lot, Nicole. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Coming onto my Mompreneur Space live show. And today is episode 99.
Yay, I'm episode 99.
Yes, good number, right?
So yes.
Thanks a lot for sharing. And thanks for making time. For those who are watching and listening, thank you guys for listening and watching to now. Really appreciate it has not been easy. It's not an easy journey, especially coming to 4 years. I thank all of you for watching and listening to Mompreneur Space live show, where I interview mompreneurs from all around the world to share how they overcome their challenges and struggles as mompreneurs. So I'm Kenneth here, signing off with Nicole Russell. Thank you guys for watching this episode, and I will see you guys in the next episode, which is episode 100. Thank you guys. See you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.